You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? No. It is Friday, August 21st, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks, though you wouldn't have known it from our intro. Poor Michael. Starting right off the bat, Matt is taking care of his baby today. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. On the program today, the great Cliff Schechter en route to some type of Coke event. I'm not even sure what is going on. I should Coke Brothers event. I should be explicit about that. It's before noon out in Ohio, for gosh sakes. Also on the program today, the great Andy Kindler will join us coming off of his hugely successful Juice for Laughs industry speech. Also on the program today, North Korea in a quasi state of war with South Korea. Black Lives Matters release a, or on the verge of releasing a political manifesto involving specific policy demands of our government, federal, local, state. Also, Martin O'Malley comes out with a big proposal to expand Social Security. And meanwhile, Donald Trump anticipating 50,000 people tonight in Mobile, Alabama. And I think it's, I don't know if it's going to be 50, but who knows? Could be 25. They sold out. Well, we'll talk about this later. And Jeb Bush getting sucked deeper and deeper into having to chase Donald Trump around the country. Fascinating. Completely unpredictable. Unless, of course, you listen to this program on a regular basis, in which case you knew this the day that Donald Trump made the announcement that he was going to run, because we talked about it then. There you go. Become a member, and I will give you huge stock tips. Now, if I ever, listen to me, I will say this right now. If I ever suggest to any of you, either as an individual or in a general sense, any investment advice or business advice, romantic advice, child rearing advice, do not listen to me. Do not listen to me. You have been forewarned. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to pick up with Cliff Schechter, because he can't be with us for very long today. But we will be talking also to Andy Kindler. And I really don't want to get involved in this any more than I have, but I know that I'm going to get sucked into it. We'll talk about this whole silly Sam Harris stuff. We will be right back after this. Music, please.
I could sleep
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, and Noah, the intern, is no longer with us, so we're having technical difficulties on a day that Matt is not here today. I'm not going to say why or who may be responsible. Not important.
I'm responsible.
Oh, come on, Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest needs no introduction. However, he does need a theme song.
Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schachter. Cliff, where are you at the moment?
Can you hear me,
Sammy? Yeah, I can. Where are you at the moment?
I just want to make sure.
Yep.
Well, I'm on location. I'm currently in the glorious and wonderful city of Cincinnati, but I'm on my way out of town because I had some old friends coming to town into Columbus. And you may have heard of them. Their names are Charles and David Koch.
I had no idea those guys were old friends of yours.
Is it Koch or Coke or I don't know. In any case, they're coming because they're having some sort of defending freedom or defending, microcystin in your water conference and other bacterial agents. And they're doing that in the Columbus area. And so I'm headed up with a nice group of people to say hello to them because we're friendly. We're very sort of neighborly that way.
Well, you know that freedom tastes just like a toxic chemical in your water. And
exactly.
And it smells just like a toxic chemical in your air.
As a famous person said, Sam, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
There you go. So, all right. So, Cliff, so who are you? I know we don't have too much time today. I want to talk about why you're going to see your old friends. I also want to talk about your governor because he's getting a lot of attention, and he just had some comments yesterday about education, which, you know, he delivered in the sort of a similar fashion as the way that he delivers a lot of his stuff. But before we do Kasich, why are you visiting the Koch brothers today?
Well, I'm going because I'm working with some great folks. You may know the folks at American Family Voices, Mike Lux, who I'm sure you're familiar with, and some other great people who are activists. And here in our state, and I know this has been happening in other places too, but there's been a lot of headlines over the last 5 years, particularly last year, because we've started to have these toxic algae blooms in Lake Erie and other lakes of the Great Lakes. And so these toxic blooms that are sort of these green algae blooms have this microcystin in it, which literally is a toxic chemical that if you try and kill by boiling water, it actually only makes it worse. It's already killed people's pets. It has sickened people and potentially could kill people. And that is happening because there's been fertilizer runoff from farms. Now, the Koch brothers are big producers of fertilizer. I'm sure that'll shock you that these guys would be so, if you will, full of shit. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. So they produce and sell fertilizer. They lobby. They've lobbied heavily, especially like in states like Michigan here, against any sorts of regulations that would stop this runoff. They fought it as far as much as they can. And now this past year, because if you may remember, we had for the most part a pretty warm winter due to the effects of climate change. That's something that the Koch brothers deny and spend millions of dollars, millions, probably more like billions, on getting other people to deny. The effect this year is going to be even worse. So the combination of climate change and fertilizer, both things that the Koch brothers have made worse, they're saying that we're likely going to have the most toxic algae bloom, you know, in the history of this happening here. So they're destroying our water. Now, last summer, 500,000 people up in the Toledo area near Lake Erie had no drinking water. Jeez. If you couldn't afford to buy bottled water, you were out of luck. And that was because of what these guys have done, what freedom is, as you said earlier. Freedom is all of us choking on our water. So a number of us who actually care that we drink clean water, and I go up every summer with my wife's family, who's been doing it for about 67 years, to Lake Erie to swim, on near northern Ohio, and, it's unacceptable. Let's just put it that way. So we've got something I think you'll appreciate, Sam, an idea we came up with. It's called we're asking people to take the Coke challenge. Uh-huh. Kind of like the Pepsi challenge. The difference is if you're at a Koch brothers conference, I assume you support their agenda. Therefore, you don't think there is climate change. You don't think there's anything wrong with algae blooms in water. So we'd like you to try some bottled water. And alongside it, we're going to have some Lake Erie water, replete with microcystin. And we'd like you to take a taste and then tell us which you like better. We're going to film it all and see how they react.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
They'll be pleased and they'll participate.
That's a great, I love that idea. I should add one more thing about fertilizer and climate change, just to close the circle here. But for those people who, my understanding is for those people who do actually believe that we're going to have a problem with our climate, fertilizer and potash has become one of a favored investment because, of course, the more a drought you get and the more you destroy the soil, the idea of fertilizer and the more that, fertile farmland is destroyed because of climate change, the more fertilizer and things like potash are going to be important. And so they've covered themselves on both ends. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, third angle. I mean, it's sickening, isn't it? They cover themselves by they won't regulate their current products so they can keep selling it as much as they want. And their current products cause these problems, which lead to more fertilizer buying. But guess what else? They also happen to be invested in bottled water.
Oh,
so
perfect.
That's a terrible thing for them, too, when we all have no drinking water and have to buy there.
Well, that smells like freedom to me. And I appreciate it'll be interesting to see if anybody drinks it. My guess would be no. But it will be pretty fun to watch.
I wouldn't say. I don't think any one of these people intending in their nice $2,000 suits going out to their expensive dinners will have the brass cojones, if you will, to pick up one of those bottles and drink it. But if they do, I'll give them credit. I'd like to see them do it.
Would it be necessary for you to tell them that it's water from Lake Erie, or just say, here's one of these is a local Ohio bottle of water, and one is not?
I like it.
You might want to try that. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be as valuable in terms of getting the point across, but it would be fun.
Well, yeah, and I hear green algae, much like kale, is an acquired taste.
Yeah, so I think that I'm pretty sure that Michael comes in with two of those a week or something, like some type of drink that he gets blended drink with some type of green algae in there or hemp. I'm not sure.
So there you go. So that's now we'll let you. I will, for the fine viewers here as well as you guys, we'll send whatever pictures or video we get. You know, other great activists. People may know Lauren Windsor. She'll be there. She's done a lot of stuff on the Koch brothers and used to, had a show she used to have through the Young Turks network. I think it may still actually be through the Young Turks network. And works with American Family Voices too. So some good people will be there and you know, we just wanted to try the water, do a good taste test, like a good American.
Well, indeed. Enjoy it. Now, so Cliff, let's talk a little bit about, and just tell me when you have to go, because I know you're literally about to head there. This week, we have seen more of the same in terms of the Republican race. Donald Trump seems to be rising in the polls to the extent that there's any movement. And Jeb Bush, the presumptive frontrunner as of a couple of months ago, and still by those who crunch data and go by their own sort of, I guess, old models, which I think very well may prove to be wrong, think that Trump is, I mean, that Bush is still the frontrunner. And we'll get to Bush's having to literally head into the Trump gutter, as it were, to compete. Yeah. But with that said, that means that there is at least talk of finding a new moderate candidate. Scott Walker has dropped. He looks like he could even lose his own state of Wisconsin now, according to polls.
Isn't that amazing? I saw that, too.
It is. That seems to be the case with a lot of these Republican governors, right? The more voters get exposed to them, the less they like him. Chris Christie's going through that, Scott Walker. But John Kasich is not. And he is trying to fill this role as the other moderate. Tell us a little bit about John Kasich. Is he a moderate?
No, not in any sense of the word as we would have used it, you know, back in the day when people like Jim Jeffords and Lincoln Chafee, you know, and really people that put together
Bob Dole, for gosh sakes.
I'm sorry?
Bob Dole, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, I mean, if you look now, a lot of what Bob Dole supported, I think you could call him moderate, and that maybe is even moving the sort of goalposts a little bit. I used to consider people like Bob Dole, you know, and Dick Lugar, and George Voinovich here in Ohio to be kind of reasonable conservatives who were willing to compromise a bit and would come over to our side on some things. I didn't consider them real moderates. Well, Kasich's a level to the right of those conservatives we're talking about. He's very conservative. One could almost say perhaps severely conservative. He's not a crazy person. And so at this point, if you're not a crazy person saying all sorts of things that have no basis in fact, you know, have no connection to what actually happened in history, you know, things that aren't supported by any known form of science or math or stats or anything, you know, you're considered to be a moderate in the Republican Party. So, yeah, Kasich is that. It doesn't mean, look, Ohio right now is one of the 10 states with the most stringent and ridiculous abortion regulation. Kasich made sure to pass those, often attached to budgets, when nobody was looking, things forcing ultrasounds on women, forcing 48-hour waiting periods, so that people, women who don't have the money to stay overnight somewhere, don't have access to clinics. The area I'm sitting in right now, Southwest Ohio, the Cincinnati Dayton area, almost became the largest metro area in the country without a clinic. We only have one left, and he almost shut it down. That's not moderate. John Kasich put guns in bars, decided that 8 hours of training on the range was too much, so you only need two, because that's what you want, the guy carrying a gun who's only used it for 2 hours on the range. So, you know, he's not moderate on that. On charter schools, a lot of that's coming out. How essentially his state, his top education people he's appointed in the state here are being investigated, had to step down. And that's because he's basically sort of starving public schools, allowing campaign contributors and friends to get rich off of the corporate charter school bonanza. Some of the people in his education department suppressed any negative information, like, let's say, kids that were getting failing grades, they hid it. I mean, there's a ton of fraud there. Ohio's been the Wild West and maybe has been the single worst state in the country when it comes to charters ripping off our public education system. And I could go on and on. I mean, he's not a moderate. He's just not a crazy person. But what's happened is, you know, I would say there's two sort of things here. One is just Republicans like mean people. I mean, in the end, if you wanted to say what Trumpism is, I mean, Trumpism really is getting up and saying things that people that have any media training don't like to say, and offending all the right people by saying them, and that replaces ideology, because we know at this point conservatism has really come down to just being about pissing off liberals, in their view, whatever liberals are, which is anybody who's not them. And so that's one track. But another track is Kasich does have some actual charisma to him, as does Ted Cruz, and a few others, and Jeb Bush and Scott Walker are like that boring person when you're forced to go to the family party that you're stuck talking to for 20 minutes. You almost like you cause bodily injury to yourself to get away from. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what you've seen happen is, and you and I kind of called this, I would say, Scott Walker, just that debate destroyed him because there are some people who actually had some personality on the stage. He has none of that. Jeb Bush, I thought, didn't do great. You thought he did worse than me. I think you called it better than I did. He also has lost support because he didn't show himself in any way to be interesting, charismatic. So those two guys are crashing hard, opening space for Kasich because he's just enough of a dick to make a lot of Republicans on the right who don't agree with everything about his ideology happy. He throws out the Jesus stuff a lot. But, you know, I went on a vacation 2 weeks ago in the Hilton Head, South Carolina with my family, and we were playing at a playground. This woman who lived there started talking to us and asked where we were from. And I said, Ohio. You know, she's like, John Kasich's from there. Good man. I really like him. And then proceeded to tell me she was choosing between John Kasich and Mike Huckabee. So what does that tell you when it comes to this sort of
right.
religious bamboozlery, right?
Yep.
Is that all his talk about God is to bring in some of these people, too, because he's shameless about that. So, you know, it's really that he, you know, and he did one other thing I'll say strategically smart, which I just don't ever understand these campaigns. There are these people that make, that bring in money and decide to save money for all their money for a rainy day and are so cautious they end up losing and they have a big pile of money in the bank account and no candidacy. Kasich brought in $11 million or whatever he brought in. And so they decided, you know what, if we go up in the polls right now, if we spike in the polls, that will increase our media coverage. Our media will get better media coverage. We'll be treated like we're for real. And then it'll become sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we'll raise more money from that, which to me, I never get why somebody can't seem to understand that simple concept.
Well, that's the theory behind like Emily's List, right? Early money is
yeah.
like yeast.
Yep, and you spend it. You need to build name recognition. So he spent $4 million. Remember, Ohio, forget that. New Hampshire is not a big state.
Right.
It's not even a huge league. So the Boston media market's expensive. The rest of the market, he dropped $4 million on ads. You combine that with his debate performance, and he's spending a ton of time there, and he's tied for second place with Bush there. So, yeah, I think he's taking Bush's place as the establishment favorite, but I don't think by any means that says that he's going to win because he's still an asterisk in Iowa, and South Carolina has a much more conservative electorate. Remember what happened to John McCain down there. Don't think they won't do all that same stuff to John Kasich. Let's just say John Kasich got married very late on, and there have always been rumors about him. I couldn't care less, but if you don't think that's the kind of thing Republicans are going to spread around in South Carolina, you know, we know what they do down there. So I still think he's got a very tough road because I think any establishment figure has a tough road. I mean, the top three guys right now in the Republican polls are all loudmouth, crazy people who don't know anything about policy. So that should tell you something. And if Trump falters, you've got Ben Carson to step in. And if Ben Carson falters, you've got Ted Cruz to step in. That's what the Republicans like. You need to be willing to shut down the government, insult people on the other side. You know, that's what they're looking for. And frankly, Scott Walker just isn't very good at it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that's that's one thing that I think has really just escaped the mainstream analysis. You know, we went through that brief period where people were like, it's unbelievable that Trump is leading. He's got no policies. Well, then he comes out with a policy, but it's completely irrelevant. It's not as if this election is ever on the Republican side, it seems to me, is
right.
ever a function of policies. There's not a lot of policy space between these people.
Let me just say something quick. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Sam, I mean to interrupt, but let me say something quickly. Even his policy served as a way to do the same thing he's been doing, which is to insult people. Because it wasn't really a policy. We're not going to repeal the 14th Amendment. It's not something a judge, it's not something that the president can say, I'm not going to follow, as Trump seems to think. It's like one of these things that's actually an amendment. I guess we should do that with a Second Amendment, too, huh?
Well, I think the way that you look at this, and it's summed up perfectly in the last exchange of the Republican debate. Jeb Bush says, I go out there and I'm going to get stuff done, and I have these policies, and I'm a conservative, but I just don't think it makes sense to go and crap on people. Essentially, that's what he says. And then it goes to Trump, and Trump says, hey, we got the same policies, but I don't have time to be PC. And a roar of applause He goes up, Jeb Bush goes down. There's really not, at the end of the day, if you really wanted to just sort of, how can, what 4 minutes will sum up the dynamic in the Republican Party? That is it. That's, yep. you know, that's before you have to actually even look into these guys' records. Now, let me ask you this about Kasich, because I'm not as skeptical in his performance when he goes down to South Carolina. There may be rumors. I imagine Jeb Bush people are going to be attacking him, because I bet Jeb Bush sees him as a threat, because at one point people are going to have to get together and say, who is the best option we have that can both maybe do well in, like, not get slaughtered in the general, but also has enough Trump-like quality to deal with Trump. And I think Kasich has always been that guy.
The problem is that Bush has, we're now at the age of, we've even evolved further with the super PAC, where now we're actually outsourcing main campaign functions to super PACs. And Jeb Bush has $100 million. So the problem is, and Kasich can raise a lot of money, but he's just never going to raise that kind of money.
I agree. But here's the question. Here's the point, though, is that Trump can raise that money. And if he can't raise that money or decides not to, he has that those resources in the form of his ability to walk into a room and everybody shows up. His unearned media, it seems to me, or I should say earned media, as they call it. In other words, media that you don't pay for, you know this, is equal to that of Jeb Bush's dollars. And so the question isn't so much.
I agree with that. I just think Kasich's going to get caught in the middle of that, because Trump can destroy Kasich with the dollars. I mean, with his earned media and his dollars, to be frank, because he can take it out of his pocket. And Jeb Bush can destroy Kasich with his money. So the thing is that I think it's going to be coming from all sides hitting him. And you know what?
Unless Kasich steps to the side and lets these two guys fight it out. But aside from that,
I think he can become the establishment guy, though. I really do. I think he can knock Bush and Walker out. I just think it seems to me that if you consolidate all the people that are looking for someone to just be an a-hole, you know, the Trump vote, the Carson vote, and the Ted Cruz vote, if that ever consolidates behind one person, it seems to me that we've reached that tipping point where there's more people like that than sane people in the Republican Party.
I think you're right. All right, let me just ask you one more question. Are we going to start hearing stuff about Lehman Brothers? Because I know David Sirota has started to write about Kasich and his involvement with Lehman Brothers as a governor, as having been an alum of Lehman Brothers. I mean, this is a guy who he went from being a congressman to a Fox News host to a Wall Street, a guy on Wall Street, a failed, one that crashed and burned. And he hits all of the sort of like the boogeymen for basically the nation as it is, not so much on the right, but for the nation, Wall Street, Fox News. And was he one of the Gingrich era Republican congressmen too? I mean, so it's interesting it's just interesting as it hasn't stuck, but it also seems like nobody's trying to make it stick quite yet.
Yeah. I mean, look, the one thing that he may have on his side is that Fox News has a powerful voice and will defend him. Or they won't attack him because he's friends with Hannity and some of those guys. At the same time, there are people like Eric Erickson that loathe him. And as we've discussed in previous shows, have a ton more power these days in that party. You know, Kasich wasn't invited to that little red state get-together, and Erickson's taking every chance to insult him that he can. And that voice matters in South Carolina. It matters during a Super Tuesday in southern states. So I think for him, it's going to be a challenge that way, because he's going to have to deal with so many of those negative voices coming out against him and clobbering him on this stuff. And the Lehman Brothers, these days, that can be an attack from the left and the right. It'll come from Rand Paul, people like that, as crony capitalism. I can see Ted Cruz, others making that attack. And it'll come from the left as, just that he's a corporate stooge. So, and then, look, if I were sitting on the other side and I were putting a campaign plan together, a strategic against him, you combine that with what he's done with charter schools and some of the other things, and you've got your narrative, which happens to be true.
Yep.
is that he's aligned with, he can pretend all he wants. He's this guy, the son of a milkman or whatever it is. He's always telling people from Western Pennsylvania, which is true, but he hasn't been that guy for a long time. And his charisma will only protect him a certain amount, you know, if this stuff is coming out all the time about the charter schools in Lehman and who he's really with and what he's really done. You know, and I think that could be in the end very damaging to him. So I'm not saying Kasich doesn't have a chance. I think of any of the establishment guys, he has the best chance. I think he will end up becoming their candidate when Bush and Scott Walker falter. I just think at this point, to think with the Koch brothers' money, unless he can convince them to come over to his side, but with the Koch brothers' money and the voices of your Rush Limbaughs and all your Eric Ericsons or whatever, slamming him every day, and the kind of money that people like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump can put out there that they've either raised or have, I think it's a tough road for Kasich in these primaries where they're predestined a lot of people to vote against him because he said he'd actually attend a gay wedding and not, you know, beat his child to death if they ended up being gay, which is like, you know, a sin to some of the people he's talking to. So, I mean, there's a lot to go after him on, and, I mean, the Republican Party, you know, has fully now reached that point where it is a right-wing cult. Doesn't care about policy, doesn't care about actually governing. It's really just about making people feel better about their lives by insulting other people so they can, who they dislike more than they actually dislike themselves. Sorry to become an armchair psychologist, but
I think that's quite accurate. I mean, certainly it's reflect, there's data to support that, frankly. But I don't know if you have time to talk about this. And we just, you know, we can touch on it just in a minute. I'll talk about it more. But Martin O'Malley came out today, I believe, as he's announcing that he is supporting expansion of Social Security. Now, we've talked about this many times in the past. We've been talking about it for years now. You know, I brought it up, I think, about in 2014, you know, following the 2014 midterms on TV. I remember specifically saying, Or leading into it, the Democrats need to embrace a positive, some type of proactive measure. Expanding Social Security is one of them. Somebody said that's laughable. They'll never do that. And now we have two of the really three or four, I guess, candidates in the Democratic primary have embraced it. This is going to put pressure on Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is what the value of an electoral politics is that it begins to define, at the very least, where people are putting down flags and stakes and mile markers as to policy.
Yep, I'll just talk about 30 seconds and I do have to jump.
Okay.
But I'll just say quickly, you know, it's amazing what's happened and how this went from this fringe issue to how it was mainstream. Somebody should really write, you know, a report of some degree on this in very detail, because I think it's a model for what you can do on the left. And, you know, I think strategically, O'Malley's mistake was he should have come out for all this a lot sooner.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, it's a done deal. The alternative to Hillary, unless Biden gets in, where he might have support too, the alternative is Bernie Sanders. And I think for O'Malley to get much traction is going to be almost impossible. But just the fact that as mainstream a candidate as O'Malley, a guy that used to call himself, you know, a third way guy and a DLC guy about 5-10 years ago, is embracing this just tells you the amazing job that's been done by everybody. And there's a whole lot of people. So I couldn't start and begin to name them all, or start and end to name them all. But I'll just say, you know, it's changed the dynamics of this race in a number of ways. With a lot of people having to move to the left on important issues. And I'd love to talk to you further and maybe hopefully next week, maybe about what's going on with Iran, because we seem to be getting some people on the right side of that. Another important issue. We need people on the left, but I must go say hi to the Kochs.
Real quick, Jerry Nadler just backed it. That's kind of surprising.
That is
well, good. That's huge, actually. Yes, that's enormous because he's very pro-Israel. So that, as you said, that's big. And some of these red state, you know, or purple state people like Claire McCaskill, that's a huge one. Tester is a huge one. I mean, tension's leaning towards it. So I think we're getting to good territory, but I got to jump. You guys rock.
Cliff,
fun keeping on.
Good luck. Let us know how it goes today. Yes, I want to hear about the Koch challenge.
That's awesome. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Bye, Cliff.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. I just want to say this also about the Martin O'Malley thing, that there's two sides to this. There's three sides to it. I don't know that sides. There's three angles to this. One is the one we just touched on, that this is a huge turnaround for a guy like Martin O'Malley, who was identifying himself as a third way Democrat. Now, you can say, well, maybe he's not sincere. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. It's completely irrelevant. What you're doing is you're basically providing oxygen and pressure for other Democrats to adopt these positions. Does that mean that we're going to get expansion of Social Security in a year? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Does it mean that we're going to get it if we take back the Senate? Unlikely. But maybe if it becomes a widely held position, it's used to leverage the 2018 midterms. Maybe it's used to leverage the 2020 election. That's the way that this happens. So it's important. The other way to look at this, too, is if I'm Martin O'Malley at this point, and yes, I realize, like, I don't think I'm going to be the nominee. How can I make myself a valuable asset to Hillary Clinton in terms of being a vice president? Well, if I pull some support off Bernie Sanders and it comes to my way, Hillary Clinton's, you know, polling somewhere around 50%. Anyways, the issue is less about where she's at and more about where Bernie Sanders is climbing. If I can slow his roll, then I, you know, have shown that I can garner some of that support and I can be the left flank of that would complement Hillary Clinton's ticket. So just, you know, I wanted to just drop that in there.
The other thing I just noticed, because I follow who's, you know, who's coming out around the Iran deal, and Jim Webb has opposed it. He just opposed it. And what I think
Jim Webb opposed the Iran deal?
Yeah, it's not the right time for it. Some, you know, he's in his Jim Webbish way. But the thing that's so interesting to me is that
he said the deal was not the right time for the deal.
That's what the headlines are saying. I got to read up on it. I'm just looking at it in the same way that I just got now. It's bizarre, but what's fascinating is that, you know, he's running, it appears to be like this kind of, I'm an unconventional conservative Democrat kind of campaign that would have gotten so much.
Is he talking with that type of like swagger? Like I'm.
Well, he always does kind of talk a little bit of swagger, doesn't he?
Late night DJ.
I'm a veteran. Blah, blah, blah. No, but I'm just saying it's getting no traction whatsoever. It's just not where.
Well, he could very well be setting himself up for a third way run, too. Remember, it was Joe Lieberman the other day who was praising Jim Webb, and this is who they're hanging around with.
And it's bizarre because he used to be the opposite, in my impression, like in terms of like the third way guys were
that's
like
how he
the
was positioning
elitist
himself, and he
social
was also
liberals.
Populist. Yes.
And he was like the populist third way type. Like, I'm a little more conservative on the social issues, but a little bit more economically populist, a little anti-war. And now it looks like he's going the opposite
now
direction.
Now he's running a campaign where he's like, thanks for tuning in. Jim Webb.
So Jim
and
Webb,
just we're going to spin some of the Confederate's greatest hits. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Kindler will be joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, and just a tip for you out there, if you ever find yourself working the mixing board of a live podcast, when you're bringing somebody in, you don't have to bring them in slowly if they're a speaker. If they're music and you're trying to crossfade, that's the way you do it. But if you were to bring in, let's say, the host, you just bring it right up.
What?
That's just a tip for anybody out there who finds themselves working a board and they haven't done that before. Ladies and gentlemen, not only is today a wonderful day because it's a casual Friday, and of course it's the day that Donald Trump speaks to his minions in Mobile, Alabama, but it is also a day where we have a theme song for both our guests. That's how wonderful this program is today.
You like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot, Andy believes Obama can never be wrong. Yeah, AndyKindler.com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write you your own theme song, Andy Kindler.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Andy Kindler theme song by Jimmy Reefercake at allthehypocrisy.com. Andy Kindler, thank you so much for joining us.
My favorite part is when Obama can't be wrong.
Don't you sing that to your wife every night before you go to bed?
Yeah.
It's like you're... No,
I have her do it. She does the third up from me. It's a harmony. You know what our group's called? Crossfade. Oh, I'm on already, baby.
Oh, my God. Today is going to be crazy.
You said crossfade, right?
I did.
I bring it right back.
No, I noticed that. That was... unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're familiar with Andy Kindler's career, but if you're not...
No, they are not.
Well, as you are not. Now, have we talked since you've been at Juice for Laughs, or what is it? What is the... How do you call it? Juice for Laughs?
Well, I actually speak a little French. Why do I say things like that? I have not talked to you, but it was a triumphant... It was a good-natured romp.
Now, let me explain to people so that you can maintain your sense of false modesty. Andy Kindler, for years, has been essentially like the tentpole, I would say, of the Just for Laughs Festival. And I say this as someone who's never been. The tentpole of the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival is it in Montreal? Where you deliver a state of the industry address that really apparently pokes fun at all of the industry leaders.
I love the way you can't even keep your own issues out of the introduction. You know what I'm saying?
No.
He goes up every year to Montreal where I have not been invited.
No, I didn't say that. Oh, I was invited many times.
No, you don't go?
Oh, I was invited many times.
You were so great on Marin, and I'm not just saying it because you asked me to say it before the phone call. You were unbelievable.
Well, I appreciate that.
And the last scene made me laugh so hard when you did the
cop,
like the takeoff on sitcoms. Fantastic.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate that, Andy. But no, tell us about the speech. People don't know what you do, and it's available online, isn't it?
I think it's on SoundCloud. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's on Sirius. Sirius XM records it every year. Well, for a few years, I did interviews about it afterwards, and then people thought the interview was the actual speech. It's been going on 19 years.
Jesus.
Where I give a speech on what's wrong with comedy. But it's supposed to be funny sometimes, and sometimes it's just pure anger. But then there is humor involved.
But I don't want people to understand how amazing that is, because you go up there and you literally take a dump on some of the biggest names in comedy, and you manage to do it in a way that and you're not nice about it. Right. I mean, like, you know, that's the thing is like For instance, like, just compare you to, like, John Benjamin for a moment. And John, I only know this in really sort of like a personal sense in the way that, you know, because it didn't have anything quite like that. But, like, John was always the type of guy where we'd be in the same situation where he would crap on somebody and they would love it. And then I would crap on somebody. And if there was any chance that they would love it, I would be really explicit. Like, no, you don't understand. I'm not kidding. And
I don't like you.
And that's what I like about what you do, Andy, is that you just want to make sure, like, hey, this is meant to leave a mark.
Well, you know, some of it's roast. Like, I try to sometimes when I'm too enraged, remember that to keep it a little bit light. But then it depends on the target. Like, this year I went after Seinfeld, so that was just.
And we talked about that. Right around the time, right before you did that.
Did you use any of my white supremacist Seinfeld material, Andy?
No, I did not, because I couldn't clear it with you in time.
Did you want to hear Michael? That's Michael's attempt to saying, "Please let me do my impression."
Please.
Of Jerry Seinfeld. Do my
no. I did a Seinfeld for Andy before.
Okay.
Like, what's the deal with voting rights?
All right.
Why are black people always so upset?
And
I can't make a Korean roast now, joke.
Do you run into,
what does the world come to?
Do you run into you've crapped on Louis many times when you were up there. Do you ever run into Louis afterwards? Or do you run into Seinfeld or anything like that?
Yeah, I always run into Louis after I've said something. I don't know if I say anything.
He doesn't.
Well,
care.
I mean, it's a perennial favorite on the road now,
right.
That I do my Louis acting moves, which you can't really see through the phone, but it's, you know, looking exasperated. I do his classic walking down the aisles of stores like Russ and Daughters. All the Louis C.K. classic acting. The bemused look he gets when a woman suggests something crazy sexually. He's like, I don't know why this is happening, but I guess if you would like me to dress like a woman, I could try it. That type of thing. You people aren't even watching the show. Is that a spoiler alert for you people? Hey, next year, Louis's wife, you know, she was white, she's black, she's going to be a throw pillow, people, next year on the show.
So, but what's that? Louis doesn't care, right? I mean, when you see Louis, he doesn't care.
Well, what he's doing is he's always, his whole thing is, you want me to be funny? I'm going the other way. Whatever you want me to do,
no,
but I'm
saying
make
when
a decision
you bump into
that will bother you.
I'm saying when you bump into him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't really... I think you guys use the as part of a prank. Use the worst phones in studio to talk to me. No, he came to the alternative show this year, and then we didn't get to put him on time, and he gave me kind of a look. I assume he's shooting me terrible looks, even when he's smiling at me. It's always been uncomfortable to see him because I saw him immediately after I made fun of him a couple of years ago. But it's probably all my issues. His skin is not thin.
Right.
At all, Sam?
No, I know that.
Sure.
What about Jerry Seinfeld? Have you run into him? Because I feel like Jerry Seinfeld would be pissy about it.
You're an asshole, Andy. Okay.
Well, I found out through a third party that he had heard about me talking about him. But the only reason why he heard about me talking about him was there was an article, and I'm not someone who toots my own horn, but there was an article in the New York Times about me, pause, for people to drink that in. And so... That's how I heard he found out, is because he reads the Times. Otherwise, he would have never known that. He's not listening to my. He's not listening to it on SoundCloud.
And did you? I mean, that third party person, did they tell you he seemed upset, or was he just like, meh?
Well,
I was
going to
give Andy a car,
but
now I'm not going to.
What's that?
He was going to give you a car, but now he's not going to.
No, I can't do. I'm not going to be able to. I have not been able to bring myself to watch Bill Maher and him in a car getting caught. I don't know if anyone saw that or how horrible it was, but I can't watch Bill Maher's show anymore. I refuse to even watch it because he had that thing on. Did you know that thing that Atlantic did about deciding that colleges were too PC? And they did it based on the writer, the author, going to a NACA convention, and then she drew her and. Basing it on what Jerry Seinfeld said, who doesn't play colleges.
What is a NACA convention?
It's the National Aeronautics. No, it's the way people. You probably never played colleges. I played a couple of them, but they have these big conventions, and comics perform in unnatural circumstances, like in a lecture setting, and then they block book people.
Oh, wow. All right. I had no idea. I didn't. I mean, to the extent that we played colleges when I was back in the day, it was just it was a lot more low rent than that, I have to say.
Well, it was going on, though, Sam. It was going on, but you've always been unconventional. You always did your own thing. Nobody could fit you into a
I would just
enclosure.
Go into a college and just start doing it, unbooked.
But what happened to the Atlantic is what I want to know, but that's probably too boring to talk about. But it's just become a terrible – I don't get it. But why am I obsessed with what happened to the Atlantic magazine, I guess?
Well, you'll be happy to know that I just got into a little bit of like a Twitter tussle with Sam Harris's minions. Sam Harris he engaged, and then I guess I don't know if he's going to.
Wait, he got involved. Wasn't Sam Harris? It was one of his people.
It was Sam Harris, and then like a bunch of
sycophants.
Yes. That's
yeah.
It was rather entertaining for me.
I'm going to have to check it out because finally someone else is coming. Well, some other people are coming to my defense. Not my defense.
Oh no!
I
slammed you in
it.
The course of it. Totally slammed you in it. I don't care about this whole new atheist thing. I don't care about atheists. I don't care about new atheists. I have some vague interest in atheism. I maybe arguably am on some level an atheist, but I don't care about it as an entity or a movement or whatever. The only thing that I took issue with was really on some level was Sam Harris, you know, sort of providing the intellectual cover for Islamophobes and I should say really the pseudo intellectual cover, because it's all just him pontificating. There's no data really to support anything he says, as far as I can see. Maybe a couple of polls he cites or something, and then makes some very broad sweeping assessments. But it provides intellectual cover for you know, the worst elements in our society, and frankly also, you know, sort of lays the groundwork for those who hope to have war, a new war in the Middle East or an ongoing one. So,
well, but when you say you don't care about it, I'm actually surprised to hear you say that, because the difference between new atheism and atheism is the fact that they're saying that Muslims are evil and Islam is evil, and you have a guy like Sam Harris who's a neuroscientist. Now all of a sudden he's an expert on Islam, and obviously he's not. Or they cherry pick from they point to some passage. You know, like Jews, we have a song where we sing that Haman was swinging while Mordecai was singing. All right, so we have a thing, and that doesn't mean I go around singing and hanging my enemies. I don't go around killing my first, you know, bringing my firstborn. I don't have any kids, but I don't go around sacrificing my firstborn because in the Bible. So it's like,
well,
of course,
but let's be honest. I mean, you know, when we talk about as Jews the angel of death flying over the Israelites,
right,
the Hebrews' yeah. homes because they put in shank blood on it, that's perfectly reasonable. Right. And because the angel of death then goes to slaughter the firstborn of the Egyptians. That's perfectly reasonable. But when you get this type of stuff in the Quran, that's not reasonable. I mean, look, you know, that's the thing, is that, like, I think all of it is ludicrous on some level, but I think it has some social value to people. And if it does, God bless them. I mean, or
right,
not,
but
God
but
bless
Sam,
them.
But Sam, here's the thing. They will say, because everything they're doing is an intellectual cover-up, then they will say that they also hate Judaism. Like Sam Harris, he said Islam was the motherload of bad ideas. Well, then stuff happened in Israel, and then you know, he's going, well, Judaism is also the motherload of bad ideas. It's like the bottom line is you cannot base blaming murderers, terrorists. You know, I'm Jewish. Netanyahu's Jewish. Netanyahu is I can't think of a more dangerous person who's the head of a country right now. So obviously, it doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, yes, people are of a religion, but to spend all this time saying the root cause of everything is religion is just ludicrous. It doesn't help anything. It just makes people hate, you know, want to round up Muslims more, which is what's going to happen. That's why I think the new atheism is actually extremely dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't explored it from on atheist terms. I've just explored it from the sense of, like, I've read, you know, the 2005 piece that Sam Harris wrote in defense of torture. And before any Sam Harris fans say I'm mischaracterizing it, that was the title of the piece.
You get it, man.
I'm sorry,
it's
I'm
totally
not getting
fair.
The nuance in there. But
there's
but,
a Pew poll that says that Muslims
don't
like people.
I will also, for the sake of accuracy, acknowledge the fact that 8 years later, he wrote a clarification on a different website. So so that he actually, 8 years later, after the debate is over, he wrote a clarification on a website saying he still thinks it should be probably illegal.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I'm sorry.
The thing is, he says, you know, they make arguments like, we hate Islam, but it doesn't mean we hate individual Muslims. And then you should see these sites that they have with or they go, the other one that I love is, well, people accuse them of racism. It's not racism because Islam isn't a race. That's your defense for your hate. Hey, technically, they're not a race. Nice try. I caught you again with my brilliant mind. I justified hate.
And I'm actually right now looking at a tweet from one of his supporters. And he says, Sam Cedar, you suggest Sam Harris is a neocon because he thinks, and then I think he puts in parentheses false because he's claiming this is not Sam Harris's belief. And but he says, because he thinks democracy must be exported through military intervention. I got news for you. that's what a neocon is. And he goes on to say, but you don't think you need to substantiate that claim? Now, I don't know what part of that he needs it substantiated. I mean, Sam Harris is an avowed liberal interventionist. And
right.
He went on to say that his that the moral clarity on this issue of Islam is best presented by the Christian right. And then he went on to say that the best assessment of the threat is provided by European fascists. Now, I guess... he doesn't cite which fascists or which members of the Christian right he's talking about. And that's very convenient because I guess then later you can then issue another clarification 8 years later and say, well, I wasn't talking about those. What's that?
Well, what he says, the move there is, and that's why it's such a problem that
right.
liberals aren't real
right.
about it
right.
because it's dangerous that fascists and Christian right are right about this. So we need to have their position so it's not a problematic position anymore. That's
Bill
essentially
Maher says
the argument.
Same thing. Bill Maher is the same. You know, Bill Maher's whole thing is, hey, liberals, are you not liberals? You're not real liberals. No, being a liberal means you're tolerant of other people's beliefs unless they're bothering you. Why do you care about what people think unless they're bothering you?
I don't even think – listen, I think it's perfectly legitimate to say, look – I fight for women's rights around the world. I'm not saying me.
Obviously you don't, of course.
Right, obviously I don't. But I'm saying I think it's perfectly legitimate and say we're going to provide funding for people in different countries and organizations and tools. But I think when it comes down to saying, like, there is the assessment of the threat is most clearly understood by fascists in Europe. They're not exactly saying we should just like support. We should provide support and education and and groups. I think they're talking about a little bit more violence. When the Christian right has a moral sense of what Islam is, their moral sense is it's not right with God. It's not right in
right.
absolute terms. And they and then basically there was something about, I think, some type of crusade involved in really on the Christian. I mean, what was that? The Boykin, Admiral Boykin. Our God's going to defeat their God. Was he Admiral
right.
or General Boykin?
I mean, he was a general.
That's what the Christian right is. Now, maybe he's talking about a different Christian right. I don't know.
No, but they also say we shouldn't work. Yeah, their argument is, Bill Maher's argument is that we no longer have to worry about the Christian right or anybody. The only thing is, like he says, Islam is the problem. That's the big thing. Everything else was problem hundreds of years ago. Of course, Bill Maher has no knowledge of what he's talking about on most subjects. But the point is, it's like remember when a few months ago, Lawrence O'Donnell, everybody was like saying, Obama should never, Obama has to identify that they're Islamic terrorists. It's like as if that's going – the fact that Obama is being a politician about what and saying basically they're distorting Islam, that's what a politician is supposed to do. It's like even the military leaders are saying we have to work with moderate Muslims around the world. It's like you heard of the debates. They're all use the same stuff that Bill Maher uses and all these other guys use about how he won't even identify that they're Islamic.
Well,
you know?
The idea that somehow identifying them as Islamic, it's what is supposed to happen next. The conversation seems to end there and just sort of, well, let's just let this hang out there that Islam in and of itself is a problem. What is next in that project to reform Islam? Is it, now that we've all acknowledged it, all us non-Muslims have acknowledged it's a problem, what's supposed to happen next? And what's
likely? Nothing but bad things happen from them doing that.
Of course.
They're not going to save one terrorist.
I want to remind people, too, that Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl, rather, were not going around in the 90s and standing on the rooftop saying that we need to invade Iraq. They were quietly building the intellectual foundations for which would provide different constituencies a legitimate reason to invade if there was a predicate. Okay, that's the bottom line. Is that we are, when in the context of any number of countries in the Middle East, we are in the phase where people are looking to adopt broad, sweeping, general principles that will be building blocks for our next war. That's the way they do it. Now, I'm not saying that's what Sam Harris is consciously doing. I think he's just, frankly, just a guy who hit on a formula in which to get some attention to himself. And
absolutely.
And that's what it's about. And I have respect for that. All my friends are performers in some form or another. But, don't pretend that there's some type of, like, intellectual rigor here by saying, well, a large number of Muslims, we're talking 1.6 billion, but he doesn't give us the sort of the data on how many are a threat to us and why this massive threat, we're still able to sit here and talk.
Okay. There's also...
This is how bright... That's the thing that bothers me, is that these guys are not bright. That their whole thing is that they're intellectual, but they're not bright, because he started to say, I don't know if he was responding to me, probably not to me, to somebody else, where someone brought up about Netanyahu, and he was saying, well, Judaism is the mother load of bad ideas as well. But then he took the number of Muslims in the world and the number of Jews in the world, and he said, if the Jews are a problem, they're this much less of a problem by dividing the number of Muslims and Jews. So he is basically saying all the Muslims are the problem and all the Jews are the problem,
and
but there's less Jews.
I'll reiterate what I said a couple of weeks ago. The number of Democratic leaders assassinated by religious extremists in a supposed Democratic state is one, as far as I know, and it happened in Israel.
Well, the other,
right.
I think the other big problem, though, is that even when you accept that logic, is you're basically saying that people who are fanatics or whatever you want to call it, whether they're Muslims or Jews, are the most accurate representations of that religion.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You're immediately conceding this incredibly important debate inside the religion and saying, oh, the guy doing like the Al-Qaeda attack, that's the actual Muslim.
You know what? I think to a certain extent, it's quite possible people have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, well, should we talk more about popular topics?
Yeah, what's up?
What is up with that's going around?
Very narrow.
Hillary's people won't. Hillary is
now,
going.
Now, where are you on this,
after the media, after we spent all week saying about Hillary's emails, although we give no facts, her numbers are down. What a shock.
Now, are you where are you? Who are you supporting in this Democratic primary?
I'm not supporting. I don't know if you know about this, but
you want Obama.
I'm
to
an
run
Obama
for a third
fan, and I am looking into. And there's several people with me who are looking into a third term. It's You know how Donald Trump says it's unconstitutional not to run. It's unconstitutional that you were born in this country,
right?
Even though it's in the constitutional.
Right.
I'm looking for the same thing for the third term. But I will say that I'm leaning towards Hillary only because I don't see anybody else coming up. And the fact that they're so against her makes me like her better.
You hate Bernie because he's from Brooklyn? It's like a Queens – is it like a borough thing? You're from Queens. He's from Brooklyn. What's the problem, dude?
I don't know if you've seen James Adomian's Bernie Sanders.
Yes, it's almost as good as Michael's. Go ahead. Let's hear Michael's – Badass Bernie, which we have confirmed existed before James Adomian's.
Oh, my. I didn't know there was a big war going on.
Well, there isn't. Just in our own little – this it only happens in this office.
A bubble war.
Yeah.
What the fuck's your problem, Andy? You're not going to vote for me? I swear to God, Andy, just avoid eye contact. I'm not Louie. I will smack you around.
That's we do Bernie's will, in. Yeah. What's the other variant on Bernie Sanders? Yeah, is if he was actually a full-on
black nationalist.
Okay.
Bernie X.
Or is
a Marxist.
Yes. It's a full-on Marxist.
Like a Maoist.
Yes.
Like I'll have you up in Vermont tapping maple sap for your re-education training, Andy. So I would consider very carefully who you want to be voting for. What's your problem?
That happens to be excellent right there. And yeah. I don't want to take sides in this.
No, you don't have to. I mean, you could just vote for Obama.
Well, no,
you should take a side.
And the,
no, I know, but you could still just as a way of just gracefully bowing out, say, "Well, I like Obama impressions better."
Andy, this is Barack Obama, and Michael's impression is significantly better. Look.
This is really
so you're transferring. Are you transferring your love
radio
to from Barack to Hillary, or is it just like process of elimination?
I will never transfer it to. I did not like the. I will argue, but not on this show. I will argue day by day on the Obama presidency about why he's a saint. But Hillary, I didn't like her the way she ran her campaign last time at all. But she's are you playing some playoff music?
I'm playing Love Story in the background.
Oh, it's Love Story.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's not it.
Seriously, why not
I'm
Bernie?
Wrong because I'm attracted to Hillary Clinton.
Oh, whoa.
I'm wrong.
No, but why
I'm
not,
wrong.
Why not Bernie
because
over
I refuse
Hillary?
To do a pantsuits joke. I'm bad.
No. I mean, it's we don't do any pantsuit jokes around here, buddy.
No, only off air. But why Hillary over Bernie? I'm really curious.
He does not excite me, Bernie Sanders. And I think that you on some level
are you really excited by Hillary Clinton?
You have to be exciting to be president.
Are you serious?
Dazzle me.
Tell us how Hillary Clinton excites you.
Hillary Clinton does not excite me like Obama, I'll tell you that. she does, every once in a while, she not hits it out of the ballpark, but she hits a double up the middle.
Nice.
But on the merits, I mean, I think even though I get
hey,
that
get
you
off
love,
Andy's back.
I'm just
Michael.
Curious. I'm curious. I want to know how.
Well, wait. Are you guys backing? Is the show officially backing Bernie?
Officially,
yes. Didn't you notice how he had that bump in the polls?
You guys are really think that. Well, do you think Bernie's going to? Who? You know what? I am so despondent by everything that's happening. Although I'm obsessed by the fact that Chuck Todd continually says. But guess what? Oh, and by the way. But guess what? Oh, and by the way. Chuck Todd might turn out to be the most evil human being in the history of human beings.
That's It's, I
too
mean,
much? Too
no,
far?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think you, he does do you're that. Saying might turn out to be, and so I think
well,
that's perfectly...
Well, cover my bases. Cover my
yeah,
bases.
Exactly.
I mean,
you qualified your statement. You didn't come out and say that he was. You just said he might turn out to be, and really any of us could.
Well, I'm trying to compare. My goal is to compare eventually everybody to Hitler.
Right.
And so I'm working on my Chuck Todd.
Go.
Have you already gotten
Louis.
Down to the T's or what?
What's that?
You've already gotten down to the T's, as in QST.
Did you do some random comparisons, Louis
or
and
are
Hitler?
You just dancing around? You're just like randomly picking people out of different phone books.
No, I basically started with comedians. Like this year I said that the difference between Hitler and Bill Maher is that Hitler doesn't laugh after every one of his jokes. That's the difference.
To be fair, Hitler was never on HBO.
That's true.
He never had his own show on HBO.
He also used to complain about the PC police, Hitler, a lot.
And then Hitler would also police. Say after a joke fell flat, like, come on, that was fucking funny. Fuck you.
They'd come into his office and
universities
say,
anymore.
You know, Goebbels would say,
you can't play at universities anymore. You can't play.
Goebbels would say, hey, your numbers are down.
You can't play at the universities anymore, Andy. The universities are very hostile to my jokes. Can't play anymore. We've allowed too many Jews into the universities.
It's like, okay, grow up, deal with other humor.
It's just a joke. First they came for the comedians.
And I said nothing.
And then I did nothing. It's really... Andy, what's next for Andy Kindler?
I think it's downhill. I'm sorry.
Yeah, are you doing a lot of Bob's Burgers these days or what? Are you doing a lot of Bob's Burgers these days?
I just did I don't want to brag. I did additional dialogue recorded.
Wow, that's pretty good. I was in the last episode of Bob's Burgers, but it's pretty far in few in between. I don't know why, like, whenever there's a group thing, my daughter has now started to watch these shows, right? And,
right.
You know, I don't watch animation. I don't watch really anything. So there's a lot of episodes I didn't see. And now, you know, and when you don't watch it, you don't think about it. You're like, okay, well, there's no place for Hugo in this episode. But now I'm watching all these episodes where it's like, you come in for like 40 seconds, you know, because there's some type of group scene. And I'm like, well, what? Hugo could have been there too.
Does your daughter say to you, I know you say you're on the show, Dad, but I watched a marathon. I didn't see you on one marathon episode.
She does say, like, why aren't you on?
Yeah. The main thing is that you had kids, so your kids could echo what everybody else says when they ask you what's happening
in
show business.
Right, and then I can easily dismiss what other people say because I'm like, you're talking like a child.
Well, I'm on the show. I call in every week and say, what's up? Got any more work coming up? That's my tactic.
Yeah, I try and tweet out like, hey, just wanted to let you know. Still alive.
I am completely free.
What? So what
also,
else are you doing, though,
I am
Andy? Come on.
Close
tell,
to the studio
tell us. You're
in
always
New York
doing
where you
projects.
Guys record.
You're on Marin's show. You brought in
going
again.
Good
like sort of
for
like
me.
You're like that. You're like the funeral guy on that one, too. Come in.
Am I a mortician on that show?
No, but you could be. But
by audience reaction, I don't know what that means.
But no, I'm saying like you're brought in to be the like you know one of the guys who's around you know the place.
Anytime there's a group scene.
Yes.
No, I'm very blessed, Sam. To have done what I've done, I don't think there's much of a, you know, you're better looking than me, so that's not the reason I get more work. I don't know what it is, Sam. I'm just,
I'm asking, what are you on next now? I mean, where can we see you next? Because you always in all sorts of places. Is it kids' shows?
I'm coming to New York in November. That's the Union Hall.
Dude, really? In Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think it's in Brooklyn.
Hey, will you come by the show?
Yeah, I'll come by. Well, it's the day. The problem is going to be, I don't think I'm coming by the show the day after Thanksgiving.
Is it the day after?
Oh, you mean some other... You only allow me on Fridays, right?
Well, you come by on Friday or... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would have you in at another time.
Well, you sound so enthusiastic about it.
I mean, if it's necessary. I mean, if it's really necessary, we could run it later.
I should come into the studio. And I can tell everybody in the studio right now is getting excited by the possibility.
Yes.
I am. I've wanted to meet Andy
Michael's
for a long time.
Here. Matt is actually out because he recently had a kid, and the kid got to go get his early doctor appointments, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
You know how that goes. Well, but all right, so you're coming, but what else are you doing? Are you doing any TV? Are we going to see you in anything? I mean, what?
I'm going to be on Letterman as soon as I keep pitching another set.
Wait, you know, Letterman's not doing it anymore.
Huh? I'm the world's worst straight man or sketch player. Huh?
You think you're going to be on, you think you're going to go on Colbert's show?
I would like to go on Colbert. I love Colbert, so I'm rooting for him.
Okay.
My whole thing is everybody know, you know, I have to find people who I like, and I like Colbert, so.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean I'm going on the show.
And has The Daily Show started up again? Yeah, tell me, like, what, I'm serious. Has that new guy come on?
No, I think that's also September.
What do you think about Jon Stewart retiring? We haven't talked about this.
Well, I never watched that show after a while. I think he was funny, but the thing that bothered me about that show, well, I have to say he was hilarious, and there were things on the show that were amazing, and a lot of hilarious people came out of it. But he always had this thing where it read like a sanctimonious kind of, where he positioned himself as the only independent voice. And I always felt that was like when he went to Washington and he said, mm-hmm. You're not the problem, people who are viewing my show. It's Washington. I never could stand that whole thing of letting the people off the hook.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you and I are simpatico on that.
It was arrogance with him, but he's funny. I can't argue that he's not funny. But Colbert, I enjoy more because I like when the satire is not so much like shoved down my throat.
Well, you're using the right way. No, it's actually I think what I to be honest with you, I think like he was Colbert was doing satire, and. Stewart was doing something a little bit different. I mean, I think
the oh yeah, you're right. It's apples and oranges, whatever that expression means.
Well, Andy, I'm glad we were able to come to that as a conclusion. Apples and oranges.
I wish I'd been funnier today, Sam. I blame
myself.
You know
what? I blame myself because I got sidetracked on this whole stupid Sam Harris stuff. And
I blame Sam Harris, guys. Cut yourself some slack.
There you go.
And also, there's a lot of pressure online. They go, oh, Kindler's coming on. Boy, is it going to be hilarious.
I got to say, there are
people. I wish people would stop.
People really
that.
Love it when you come on. I don't know if that's going to continue now, but that the good news is the good news is we've lowered the bar, and so next time it's going to be very easy to climb over it.
Well, I think the problem is we didn't do an extensive pre-interview.
Yeah. Yeah. So you really don't like flying. Anyways, Andy, let's do this again very soon.
All right. I wish I had a close. I wish I had. Okay, how about this? Should I close with something clean or dirty?
Yes.
Well, thank you, guys. That's just a question in general. Should I ever do that on stage? I'm retiring. This didn't go well. It's me. It's not you. No, it's good. It's good because sometimes people are so much laughing at me, they need to see another side.
That's right. It's true. Andy has a sensitive and angry side that sometimes I think people don't get.
angry side.
Andy,
all right, guys. I'm not gonna. You know what? I'm not gonna belabor it anymore.
I love you. Thank you so much for coming.
I love you too, man. Right, have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Real love fest.
The great Andy Kindler.
A real love fest with Andy Kindler.
Yeah. That's actually like the only love fest that I ever see you involved in.
It's true. I think Andy's the only person I like in my life now.
Well, no, I think there's like fests, but Andy's like the only one you love. Like I would say you like Cliff, but you don't love Cliff.
No, I like a lot of people. You're right. Andy Kindler is the only person I love. And I include my family members, my immediate family, my extended family. No, that's not true, of course. That's not true. I love my family. I love Andy.
You love your family. You don't like them.
All right, we're going to do a freebie Friday because we've got to keep it tight. Let's go into some of the IMs. I don't know if we're going to get to any phone calls today again. Well, maybe.
Take one? I don't know.
We shall see. Yeah, just put that down for me. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. All right, let's go into the some of the IMs here in a second. All right, well, you know what? You got a lot of people holding. Let's
go into the lines, boss.
We should go into the phone lines.
Sam is really enthusiastic to hear from the listeners.
I keep insisting that that we're gonna run tight today.
No, we are gonna run. We have to run tight today because okay. I'm going down here, man.
Oh yeah. Oh well, sorry, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
You call him from a. Here we go. Call him from a 912 area code. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, Sam? I was just calling as a fan of the show and as somebody who's agreeable to some of Sam Harris's positions. I just kind of wanted to have a short little conversation with you. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
I think the thing about Sam Harris is when people call him a neocon, it's kind of a strange thing to me.
Okay.
And the reason is because, like, for example, he didn't support the Iraq war. I honestly don't know what Sam Harris's positions are, you know, Pakistan, Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia. He probably didn't support Afghanistan. He's not one of these guys who comes out against the Iran deal. He's not one of these guys who wants to fight on both sides of Syria. And so I think really the problem that I have with Sam Harris is his bad philosophy. It seems like he sets up these philosophical things and kind of justifies something that he didn't actually agree with, or maybe somewhat agree with it, but mostly disagrees with it on the back end of it happening. And I think that's mostly the problem that I have with Sam Harris.
Well, look, I don't care about Sam Harris. I mean, I don't have a problem with Sam Harris. I just have a problem with the acceptance of a couple of his positions. Now, in terms of his Iraq war support, I don't know. He says, I mean, from what I've read, he seemed to have been a little ambivalent about the Iraq war. Somebody just sent me a video. I haven't had a chance to look at it from... I don't know, the University Synagogue, and oddly enough, November 28th, 2011. That's when it was uploaded. And this guy claims that in it, Sam Harris said, we should have gone into Iraq with everybody. I don't know what that means. But look, I don't care. All I'm talking about is positions today. And when you say, and I am, you know, these are direct quotes from what he's written. I don't know what his actual views are because I don't even know if he writes his actual views. I'm just going by what he wrote. And when you write and say, as he did on that Dan Carlin podcast, that the moral perspective on Islam that has the most clarity is the Christian right. And the most accurate assessment of the risk presented by Islam to Europe is held by the fascists. And you say that you have a problem with, from a liberal perspective, that Islam does not adopt these policies at the very least. And frankly, the most sophisticated definition. There's a lot of people use neocon for all sorts of things. The most sophisticated definition, and I'm going by books that have been written, The Rise of the Vulcans. There was another book, the name escapes me. But books that have been academic, that are cited in terms of defining neocons, if you read what Max Boot says as a neocon, if you read what stuff like Paul Wolfowitz has written, and Richard Perle, and Doug Feith, They are talking about American, the American way of life, that American democracy, the American ideals are the penultimate, and that they espouse intervening in other countries militarily to spread these ideas. So in my mind, this guy is a liberal interventionist who by his own pen or word processor, as it were, says that the moral clarity of the Christian right on this issue and the risk assessment by fascists is it. Now, I have a problem with that because that provides some type of pseudo-intellectual cover for why there's something problematic with Islam writ large. And once you start down that road, otherizing and saying that, boom, they're Islam, they're Muslim country, there is something intrinsically threatening. Even if they're not threatening now, there's something that is dormant lying within them. And that's what his argument.
I
don't know how else you interpret his argument that, well, there's a set subset of people who are extremists who act on their stuff. But there's this other subset that's even much larger. And I don't know if, according to him, it's the majority of the 1.6 billion Muslims in the world or just a plurality or what that agrees with these people. And the implication there is that there's something fundamentally wrong. It ignores some of the basic dynamics that are going on in these countries that are problematic, where you have a rich oligarchy or a dictator that is basically using religion as one element in which for them to keep power. It's either to drive, you know, to create a fundamentalist extremist movement that will hurt your other followers. I mean, we see this all the time. That's why there were madrasas set up in Pakistan, was to go fight the Soviet Union. That's why the CIA built Osama bin Laden's operation, or helped with the Saudi
okay,
money.
I got you, Sam.
The ISI.
You just said a lot. I just wanted to, I guess, my perspective is, it seems like Sam Harris talks a lot about intent, and it seems like, first of all, it seems like Sam Harris is not a really politically savvy when it comes to foreign policy in the first place. And it seems like he talks about intent, and he discounts the intent of, basically, which goes to your point, basically people who support American imperialism. And I think he kind of, but I think the reason he is that way is because he's mostly focused on the religious aspect of things. And when it comes to criticisms of Islam, like I said, I agree with him on some things and I disagree with him on other things. But I think Sam Harris is really kind of, he has the positions he does, he thinks the way he does is a backlash to certain ideas about religion that people on the left have that I think are problematic.
Yeah.
And like just for one example, I think I heard Reza Aslan say at some point, he was like, you know, people don't, he put it the way people basically put their values into their religion.
Yes.
Which is true. But people also get their values from religion as well. And the thing is, it's a very complex and nuanced thing to talk about. Because, for example, when you look at people, say, killing their family members because they're an apostate, they didn't put that value, they didn't have that value to begin with. They got that value from a religion. But it's not, that's also looking at it from one side of a skew perspective. I think Sam Harris is mostly talking about the religious aspect of things, and he's kind of ignorant on the actual political realities of some of the stuff he talks about. But I think he does have points when he criticizes religion. And
I got no problem with criticizing of religion in writ large either. But to say that there is something endemic in Islam that is a threat and is
Sam, I kind of actually agree with that. I agree that there are things endemic in religions that are a threat. And it's not just Islam. It's pretty much every religion. And I think the thing is, I don't know. It's hard. The thing is, Sam Harris, he's really big into philosophy, and it's kind of hard to pin him down on what he's talking
well,
about.
Well, that's the other thing,
but
too, is that I think he
agree with what
every statement
agree with the premise that there are threats in religion. I don't agree that it's the only or even the primary. I don't even know if you can assess if it's a primary threat or not, because it's like a cake. It's like once you put the sugar in the flour and the eggs or whatever, you put it in the oven and it comes out. Where is the sugar in the cake? You don't know. It's just a big, it's a big cultural, religious, geopolitical cake, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. I mean, and I would also make the point, look, there's a danger inherent in atheism, too, right? Because the danger inherent in atheism would go like this, where you start to demonize and to otherize another group of people because of their a broad belief, which ends up being a broad sort of association for the vast majority of them. And you begin to make this argument that they are fundamentally, a broader threat, and that could lead us into war. I mean, you know, the point being that in any ideology, there is a threat baked into it. In any belief system, there is something that can be considered threatening on some level. That's just the way I happen to, you know. All right, I got to go. I appreciate the call, though.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks. Now, this has just got, we got so off track on this.
Oh, I aming about this now?
I don't know. Sam Harris has responded to boastfully pro-torture. You haven't understood my view at all if you think that. You're being lazy and irresponsible. Let me read just what he wrote in 2005 in his piece In Defense of Torture. I am one of the few people I know of who has argued in print that torture may be an ethical necessity in our war on terror. That, to me, sounds a little boastful in its tone. But I will write back. How about just pro-torture? Pro-torture.
The other thing that always comes up with this is that, again, I've said this before, but he writes English language books for an English-speaking audience, primarily for of the kind of like generally educated public. And apparently there's a tremendous amount of contested interpretations of the literature, and it's very hard to define what he's saying. And yet these religious books that are translated from Arabic and Aramaic and Hebrew and have been translated many, many times and are translated all across the globe and have existed for thousands of years, what you do is you get yourself a solid translation of the Quran, and you do a straight text read. No need to take a college course. No need to do any historical study or analysis, and you're good to go. Motherload of bad ideas.
All right, folks, let's go to the IMs. Miller, are you having Kindler on today? Hope so. Yes. In case you missed it, Boston Globe. Is this the story of the two brothers? Yes. Two guys who beat up a homeless immigrant that they said was justified by Donald Trump. Ex-Canadian, I'm not able to listen live. This is a follow-up from yesterday. Honestly, listening to the libertarian you had on was so painfully, I had to fast forward. He was so unbelievably ignorant of the last 2,000 years of civilization. Government or corporations aren't the issue, but rather the people who participate in them. He was so ready to tear things down rather than encourage simply better accountability in the institutions of now. Blockistan, who is Sam Harris I keep hearing about? Also, I had to leave Blockistan because my job as a process server, while lucrative, was too stressful and confusing. Do you watch Alpha House on Amazon? I haven't. It's not good.
I tried to watch a couple episodes of it. I wasn't into it.
Colonize Mars. Hey, Sam, just a bit of news I found unbelievable. I live in Nebraska. Recently, we outlawed the death penalty. Our governor, Pete Ricketts, has been openly against it. He even vetoed the bill. The legislator overrode. This morning, it was on NPR very briefly that the governor was still buying and importing the drugs for executions, even though their import is illegal. Wow. Carson, this is the craziest thing said so far. Ben Carson, open military drone strike against the U.S., the Mexico border.
He's open to it. Floating the ideas. See, a lot of people don't float ideas.
That's right.
Have you ever read Mein Kampf?
There you go.
You would know.
Rick Fain, Cliff Miss an obvious joke. Some great people will be there. And the Koch brothers. Koch brothers, I don't understand the problem with Lake Erie's water. Toxic algae mixes well with my immune system. Ronald Reagan, Sam, the term anchor baby is not only offensive, it's almost entirely wrong. Most people come here illegally and have kids will not garner any kind of immigration benefit from that child. Believe me when I tell you that ICE deports people with U.S. citizen children all the time. Ronald Reagan, as you know, is an immigration lawyer. A 21-year-old U.S. citizen can petition for their foreign national parents, but if the parents are here illegally, those parents would need unlawful presence waivers, a waiver you can only get if you have a spouse or a parent is lawful status. It gets a little wonky, but the point is the whole anchor baby idea is a myth. Ronald Reagan, if you have any like links, send me that. Cheney and Bush's Kyle Kalinske wants to discuss further. Do it. Yeah, I think we will talk.
I'm going to be on his show on Monday.
Okay.
And we'll have him on this show later.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care about new atheists as a group. That's the thing is that I'm sort of reluctant to engage in that part of it. If Kyle wants to present Sam Harris's, you know, and I'll talk to Kyle about it. But, I mean, it's just I find Sam Harris's views to be silly and then repugnant. Folks, when you see these disagreements on the left, be it Lessig, Black Lives Matter, Sam Harris's neoconism, spoiler alert, Sam is correct. Just find out what he says and go with that. Coma face, EODM on MR, nice. EODM. I don't know what that means. Fight test. Matt Taibbi's a great piece on the GOP clown car in Rolling Stone. It's entertaining to see you guys talk about it. Also, I'm really disappointed I couldn't swing the 5-hour drive to South Alabama for Donald's speech. I know. Carl Sagan, I heard about a side deal with Iran. Is this real? Does it change the dynamics?
There was apparently an AP story, which some of which has already been retracted. I'm following it, or it's a questionable story. The notion was that on one of these sites, Iran could self-inspect. But I don't think I think that's highly dubious story. But I can look into it more. I'll talk about it on Monday.
I watched Colin Quinn's Netflix special about the Constitution, which was produced by Seinfeld. It's funny, occasionally correct, but it's also really flawed. It's amazing how these comedians read some articles about the Constitution and have a high school analysis of politics and then pontificate about politics in the media and give cover to right-wing ideas like Trump espouses. I don't even care, like, who does the talking. I mean, I'm certainly my pedigree is no different from these guys. I think it's just you should be evaluated on the merits of your argument. That's it. Let's see. Yaram, tell Michael to stop tweeting at work so he could pay more attention to the board. Susan Feinberg, Real, Scott Walker, he brags about that he won the recall election. I've never heard anyone challenge the recall. Why would over 1 million people sign a petition to recall Walker and then fail to participate in the voting process to recall him? It doesn't make sense. I don't know. I mean, we could, part of it is just sort of people... I don't know. I've been told by people in Wisconsin, like, you know, part of it was just that they think being part of the process is important. Hey, Greg, yesterday's libertarian guy was fun to listen to. And you know why? Because he was a conservative. You wrote me that yesterday.
Sneaky.
How do you give these guys so much time on your show and I have to call in 5-minute increments for a year? I could probably make the same points. When you have a podcast, E. Greg, and you're out there, I mean, you get a lot of time, buddy. I'll suffice to say one made mistake saying all the value of dollars is because of taxes. Not even MMT economists say that. For example, Bitcoin isn't valuable because of taxes. Any economist will tell you that the store of value and medium of an exchange are huge sources of value. The reason why you take an American dollar is because ultimately you can pay it off in taxes. The reason why you take a Bitcoin is because ultimately you can convert it into another currency that also is one that is
which is actual money.
Yes.
Yeah. Incidentally.
Andy can't hear. Is he a libertarian now? Joan of Arc, love the app. You need a shave. Skantix, Sam Harris was defending torture in an alternate universe where it might work. Why he bothered? Who knows? He picks the dumbest fights. What about Donald Trump's pantsuit? AGS, Sam, the difference between an atheist and a new atheist is atheists merely attest that they do not believe in the existence of God. But I think that new atheism is a euphemism, as you pointed out, for a neoconservative viewpoint that Western liberal capitalist democracy and values can be imposed on other culture with the tip of a spear. It's so blatantly not constructive. Such a George W. Bush war in Iraq retread, it's kind of shocking it has any attraction against among somewhat intelligent people. What is the new atheist response to the assassination of secular leaders like Mossadegh by Western liberal democracies, which paved the way for fundamentalist regimes we see today? See the New Yorker article about stock buybacks this week? Wonder what Bill Lozanik's take would be. Basically, the piece says there is no point in doing anything about stock buybacks. I didn't see that. Send me that link. Nathan Flowers, what is your prescription for Islamists who throw gays off of buildings or mutilate women's genitals? I don't care about Sam Harris any more than I do about Sam Cedar. I'm not interested in the individuals involved in the debate. I'm interested in the ideas. What do you do about Islamists who cut the heads off of moderate Muslims for heresy? Where does that come from? What's your solution? My solution is, well, my response is, I don't have a solution for that. That there's no solution that I could come up with a foreign policy of America that is going to do, that is going to mitigate that problem and not cause more problems. Now, I guess I would, to the extent that I would do anything, I would do what we do in terms of propaganda. It's not terribly effective.
Well, you can move away, change a relationship with Saudi Arabia. That's a longer-term possibility. Yes. There's a number of policy answers.
Everything is a bank shot. Everything is a long-term bank shot that would basically disempower and particularly get at the funding sources and the incentives to propagate these type of movements.
And then you have to understand what actually motivates that. And then you're not having a conversation about religion anymore. You're talking about geopolitics. You're talking about strategy. And that's the problem with that conversation.
Right. And what I would do is, let me tell you what I have a problem with what you're talking about, okay, in terms of the Islamists who cut off the heads of the moderate Muslims for heresy. The problem I have with them is not their religion. It's that they cut off people's heads for heresy. I don't care if they kick them out of their religion. It doesn't bother me. I don't care about that Japanese soldiers thought that the emperor was God. Just care that they were, you know, dive bombing their airplanes into our boats. I don't care what religion they are in China. Their human rights abuses. These are all problems. Yes.
And the thing is that you have to be very, when you talk in, and it doesn't justify it. There's numerous human rights abuses in the Middle East and in Muslim countries that need to be addressed. Absolutely. But you got to realize that there's a reason why there's so much attention on those issues more than as an example. Like, when was the last time there was a big conversation in the United States about human rights abuses in China?
It's just too much business interest.
Exactly. And there's a political connection to what we talk about and what we don't talk about. And if you think that it's just an inseparable part of Islam, period, that that's always going to happen, there is absolutely no solution to it. And certainly not, you know, writing some books telling people their religion sucks is not going to solve it.
Adam's belly button. Well, look, he's perfectly within his rights. There was another piece where he's talking about, I'll have to dig it up because, you know, people are very sensitive. But the idea of, like, you know, Sam Harris saying, like, you know, our First Amendment rights are curtailed because of Islam. No, they're not. You don't understand what the First Amendment is. Adam's belly button. It's very tough to understand your points about Sam Harris. I hate to just bitch, but you guys repeatedly reference Harris and Merritt to say they're making blanket misleading statements. But only support for that argument seems to be making blanket misleading statements. I guess I'll be called a Harris fanboy now. Well, look, I've literally quoted his stuff. That's all I'm talking about. As a South African, I tip my hat for Michael for his hilarious right-wing Mandela caricature, prejudicially more enjoyable than the Morgan Freeman or Idris Elba portrayals. Although condemnation of dangerous beliefs and great crimes is always in order, new atheists rarely focus their concerns on the virulent secular religions of state worship, as so well exemplified by the greatest threat to humankind. Has Sam Harris ever described the Iraq War as the incontrovertible war or crime that it is? Charlie. Sam Harris's speaking fee is $25,000, which includes airfare. They also asked the sponsor to provide transportation to. Well, good for him.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm very happy for him, and I'm also quite convinced that, you know, just that's part of the you know.
And I'd also like to say in response to that Islam is a real problem, and it's curtailing our freedom of speech, and we need to get real about it. And liberals need to stop being so dishonest and gutless when it comes to the threat available.
B, did you guys hear about Bernie Sanders' spoken word album? Yes, I've listened to part of it. Find it online. Dead Lib Zephead, have a great weekend, guys. Thanks for the commentary this week. Any news on the TPP? Pac-Man had another clip the other day about more secretive than before. Same with Europe's equivalent to TPP. I don't know what's going on in the TTIP. The last thing I read was that the negotiations in Hawaii did not work out, so it's stalled, if not dead, at least on the TTP side. Atlas Plug, great new character, whiny neo-Nazi, anti-feminist, Gamergate comedian Hitler complaining about the PC police.
Seriously? That was a really funny bit.
Can we really not be able to drive in a fancy car and kill a prostitute in a video game now because it's got to be so PC?
Next thing you know, to make a Fast and Furious movie with no car chases. What happens next?
There are plenty of Christians who have mutilated girls' genitals and killed homosexuals. In fact, I remember a few proud Americans grabbing a homosexual with a chain off the back of a truck. No one seriously talked about invading the U.S. based on human rights violations. Cat, I am a slave to Bob's Burgers and constantly seeing missed opportunities for Hugo or Linda's father or some other character that Sam Cedar really should be. Why can't Ken Lib be on more, by the way? Well, Kat, you should be tweeting a lot at the Bob's Burgers people. 04, hi, I'm a new atheist. I think religion is made up, but somehow all billion Muslims believe the same thing, except for the few who are doing Islam wrong. There was a terrorist bombing at a shrine in Bangkok last week. It wasn't related to Islam, so we don't care. Deuce Me Daily. So libertarians are basically just people who cannot understand the difference between the concept of government, individual government policies. In their black and white world, do they jump to the erroneous conclusion that government itself is the problem and is to be removed or reformed? They can't acknowledge the positives of government, helping kids and the elderly from hunger and poverty. They can't accept governmental policies that have actually protected people. I hope Seth Davis will someday realize he will be putting his efforts into reforming government, not advocating for its removal. I don't know who Seth Davis is, but I think...
Yeah, I hope Seth Davis gets on it, too.
It was Dave Smith, I think it was. Hugo
Seth
Ball.
Davis is a jerk.
Matt took Ezra to his first agnostic front show. Theresman had to listen to the replay of the libertarian interview from yesterday. Good interview, but I wish you called him out on his buggy phone connection. Greta Upstate, I beg you to use your Chris Hayes connection to get them to create a podcast for a show. It's nearly impossible to listen to a show. Thanks. Elmec, I can't believe Walker's tanking this bad. A few cycles ago, he's unstoppable. I know it's like animation, but Adult Swim Rick and Morty is surprisingly a good show. Sam Harris's wealthy heiress. I know you're a neocon, but what am I? Michael's crazy. Alpha House is great. Matt and the BK. You guys hear about the radio host in Iowa proposed, yes, enslaving undocumented immigrants who don't go home? Yeah, we got that. Demo socialist. It's a shame that atheists, I'm one, treat people like Sam Harris, et cetera, like deities. Goes against the principles of atheism. It's also a shame that there's so much Islamophobia in the atheist community. Yeah, I don't know if it's as large as it seems. Networthy, Sam Harris's argument for torture that ends justify the means regardless of intentions flies in the face of the intention-based argument he had with Noam Chomsky. Is he utilitarian or not? He can't have it both ways. Well, I mean, he did basically clarify his position on torture 8 years later in another piece. So, Nate, Everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. Sick Nichols, I think the mother a load of bad ideas quote from Sam Harris has a way of pointing out that all religions are bad ideas in the sense they have the holy books above reproach, and questioning in this particular religion is particularly bad. It's a belief system based on faith and therefore immune from contrary evidence. Religion is an insult to human. Yeah, well,
that's actually not true. You know, there's a lot of people in religious communities who obviously wrestle with their faith and don't take things literally, and they don't.
He's joking. He's joking. There's a certain irony.
We'll see. I see. I understand. I got it.
Stoon, speaking of Coke and potash, they signed a big deal here this week for more potash. Tea partier. Please leave Sam Harris alone. You're just getting sucked into his PR campaign like ISIS is trying to sucker us into war. Harris is just a whore. I think that's not a nice thing to say, but I think I'm not convinced that a lot of this isn't just showmanship. AJ Chicago, Sam Harris and the secular Islamophobes are very much like the 19th century anti-Catholic nativists, many of whom were politically liberal Protestants that use enlightened values to bludgeon and bully poor Irish and Italian immigrants settling in American cities. Yes, 19th century popes like Pius were reactionaries who openly railed against liberal democracy, not unlike political Islamists today. But to use Pope Pius or Saudi Salafism to crap on an entire religious community is how and then was pure bigotry. If Harris isn't a neocon, his ideology serves as a liberal national rationale for the neocon project against the sinister Muslim other. Yes, well said. Reagan and the money. First off, Noah isn't with us anymore. What happened? Well, he had to move on. He was our intern. Was he run down by a bus while listening to a Dennis Miller podcast? First, make Matt a blood oath with the devil, parental responsibility. Now this, I can't handle all the sad news. I'll look at that bakery story. Cantaloupe. Louis in the Village, Louis C.K., defending de Blasio was totally on the money. I wonder if comedian Hitler calls into public radio to defend politicians, too.
Did you hear about that?
No.
I think Louis basically called into Brian Lehrer's show to back de Blasio.
Oh, really?
And he called as, like, Louis from the West Village.
Oh,
and it was clearly him, yeah.
Milton Apathy. Have you been following the racial flare-up over the Black Lives Matter blogger Sean King? Yes, I have. They claimed that he was not black. And it's really been just unbelievable the way they've gone after the guy either way. But yeah, I read that post. It is amazing. I just don't even want to talk about it because it's so disgusting, but maybe we'll talk about it in the context of the coverage.
It's really harmful.
Melancholy. So you're agnostic about atheists. Indeed. Damn Folger. The GOP a-holes say children born of undocumented parents should be citizens. So what is their status? Ito. Yesterday, why not civil penalties for tax evasion? Well, you know, that's a good point. Michael made that to me afterwards, that in most instances, that's basically what happens. You get your wages garnished, levied, whatever. Glennie, to be fair, Sam, you guys spend every show otherizing those on the right. Of course, I agree with you on those topics. But it's because I trust your intentions. I think if you spent more time reading more of Harris's work, you would better appreciate his intent. Well, now, wait a second, Glennie. To the extent that I otherize these people, it is in the context of a political system in this country. And it is based on their ability to affect political outcomes in this country. I do not believe that Islam represents an existential threat to this country. I don't believe that Islam is pointing this country or is in any way implicating our domestic policies. And to the extent that it implicates our foreign policies, I don't want that to be the outcome to be more war. So, yes, I think the conservative ideology is, I don't know if it's the mother load of all bad ideas. I would imagine that there are some that are actually worse. There's been things like genocide perpetrated. I don't know what that noise is, but it could be coming from my computer. But there's also, as far as I know, not a large contingency in this country ready to go to literally to war with conservatives. And I would certainly, to literally go to war. And I think that's a pretty important distinction. Nine Spine, love the libertarian debate yesterday, but I think you really need to take on non-aggression principle directly with those sort of arguments. It underpins their whole philosophy. Matt Brunig has written some fantastic pieces dismantling the non-aggression principle.
He's a good, he's smart.
Yeah.
The guy at Demos? Yeah. He might be a good guest. I'll put him on the list.
Two teachers. Sam, did you see in the LA Times expanding their education section using funding from the Eli Broad and other unnamed billionaire philanthropists looking to push testing privatization? I didn't see that. Nick, Sam, thank you. Thank you. Andy Kindler is the perfect way to start the weekend. He's got to be one of the funniest people alive. Reminds me of W.C. Fields. Also, enjoy Michael's impersonations, though his Sam Cedar still needs some work. Jay Tingle. Sam Harris is very much like Slovakia. Slovakia refuses to accept Muslim immigrants, migrants. Study of Holocaust survivors finds trauma passed on to children's genes. Bull Prague. Washington Post covered anchor babies. Okay, great. Myth of the anchor baby. Seth Davis, WTF, Michael.
Is there more?
No,
oh,
no,
Seth Davis.
Seth
yeah,
Davis.
Yeah.
Schloop, whore, showmanship. You say tomato, I say tomato. Just kidding. Balthwith, I love it when progressive focus on the bigotry of atheists toward Islam and not the, another May around. I think you're trying to say the other way around.
I focus on Al Qaeda, on IS, on Saudi Arabia. It's such a basic and obvious distinction. And in fact, we focus on Sam Harris, not atheists per se. It's just the whole point of the conversation, in some ways, is just getting to some specifics here.
And you know, it's not simply, you know, I'm not terribly concerned about bigotry per se. I'm against it, of course. I don't know, but here's the problem with what you're saying, even the way you're structuring this, okay? Because obviously I have a problem with bigotry anyway, but even look at this. The bigotry of atheists towards Islam and not the other way around. Islam is not a person. And if there were Muslims in this country that were, say, like saying, hey, we should, there's something fundamentally wrong with the Catholic Church, or there's something fundamentally wrong with atheists, and we need to intervene in their, I would denounce that as well.
And we do denounce it in countries like in Saudi Arabia, where, you know, it's illegal to be an atheist. That sort of goes without saying. I mean, the primary implications of this debate are for U.S. foreign policy and U.S. domestic policy, with things like NYPD surveilling Muslim communities.
Right.
I mean, that's where it becomes a real thing.
Well, because they're a fundamental threat, and the Christian right has a better moral perspective on it.
Right.
All right, folks. The final I am a movie. Sloan O'Man, I want to thank you for being the first show to provide correct analysis on BLM and Sanders. My guess is Sanders experiences a bump of the polls due to how well he's handled the issue, and BLM has only increased knowledge of their movement. And last one of the week, I love the conversation with the libertarian yesterday. Wish you had pinned him more on his alternate ideas of funding a civilized society. All right, folks, Matt and Mike Monday this next week. I'll be back Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the lie.